The Glory of God, Part 2. The Glory of God, Part 2. It's August 19th, 2012. Where, man, we're closer to the end than we are from the beginning. Amen. 2013 is around the corner. In another week and a half, the kids go back to school. Praise God. Hallelujah. Back to a normal routine. Hallelujah. Some of them will be graduating this year. My daughter will be graduating. And then she's going to stay home because she doesn't want to go to another school. She wants to stay home with Daddy. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I don't know if that's her plan, but that's my plan. Amen. Hallelujah. I miss when my little girl's gone or my son's gone for a day or two. Pray for Matthew that tonight is a big night for him. He's tuna fishing in San Diego, and he's believing for a couple hundred pounds of tuna to bring home to his dad so that we can have a big barbecue for the church. That's what I'm believing. Some big old tuna steaks. Oh, man. Some fish. That sounds like a good time, don't it? So I'm believing for some big fish that he's going to catch, and he's having a blessed time, and he's enjoying his last week of vacation before he goes back to school. Amen. So the Glory of God, Part 2. I want to continue on the series of the Glory of God, probably be on it for another week or two at least. And I believe that God is going to change and transform this church into a place where miracles, signs, and wonders break loose. Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
All right. Shout with me, I'm ready? For the glory, to hit this place. All right, last week we said a few things that there are some ingredients that we have to have in order for the glory of God to show up. God has been dealing with Pastor Diana and I in a big way about the church, and we've been asking him about growth, and we've been asking him about ministries, and I've seek counsel from several large ministry name ministers that I trust and believe in, and they've been going through some transformation themselves, and their church is changing direction, and they've cut back certain things so that they can be more focused. And I'm going through the same thing, and I'm thinking, God, what are you doing in this season? He says, I'm trying to get you somewhere where the glory of God shows up all the time. And when the glory shows up, miracle signs and wonders break loose, and that will draw people into the church. Right now, the churches around the city and around the nation have had stagnant growth. Why? Because there hasn't been a 9/11. 9/11 brought people into the churches, but it brought them in for the wrong reasons. I wanted to bring them in so that they can have the miracles. There are people still hurting right now. There are people that are losing their home. There are people that are losing their job. There are people that are in right now that are on borderline of being divorced because they don't know who can help them. We can help them because we got the word. Amen.
Amen.
Last week we discussed there's ingredients that you got to have in order to dwell in His glory. And when God created the earth, He used His own Spirit, or the glory, to form the invisible into the visible. The next ingredient that He used was called sound. Then God said it, let there be light. Amen. It was sound waves from the Creator that set things in motion with His Spirit that caused things to be visible. Now I'm going to make a statement. I said last week the same thing. We see something that God was never recorded as opening His mouth to speak anything until He first sent His Spirit, or the glory of God, to hover, thus creating an atmosphere for miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm going to prove that to you here in a minute. We're going to take a look at the Word. I believe that our lives are going to be changed, and we're going to tap into some things this morning. We're going to recap a little bit what we spoke last week, because I want to get this into your system, but I also want to cover some new ground so that you can take what you've been learning and apply it. Amen? Now, the thing about this teaching, and God showed me, is that the body of Christ, that's all of us, have to get on the same page in order for the glory of God to show up. Amen? So if you'll take a moment, stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to look at Genesis 1, verse 1 through 3. Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. And the Bible says this in Genesis 1, verse 1. This is the New King James Version. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who created it?
God
did. All right. Verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit,
and the Spirit
of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit was first. Then what happened in verse 3? What does it say? God said. What did God say? God said, let there be light. So he first had to have the Spirit of God hovering over the circumstance. He had to have the glory of God show up first before he spoke something. Oh, see, sometimes it's good to do things in order. Because when things are out of order, it gets messed up. It's not that you can't speak the word and then the glory show up. It still works, but it doesn't work with the same impact. And I'm going to show you some things this morning that God's been showing me in the Word that is going to help you. That He says, He said that the Spirit was hovering, right? The Spirit was hovering over the face of the water. And then God said, He spoke with these vocal cords. He said, let there be light. And then, boom, guess what happened? There was light. Heavenly Father, I ask you to let us grip your Word this morning. Let us get it in our spirit this morning. Let our DNA absorb your word this morning. Let our lives never be the same. Change us, Jesus, with your word. Let us get into a unity and agreement in a one accord with what you're about to say today. Change us, mold us, and transform us. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We see something here in the Bible that God never said anything until the Spirit or the glory of God was showing up. In the beginning there was heaven and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth, and then God said, let there be light. We talked last week about sound waves and how they affect things in the natural. You remember seeing the commercial of the opera singer lady, and she sang and she would break the glass? That was through sound waves. Why? Because sound waves are so strong and so powerful that it destroyed the glass. Think about the sound waves that come from your mouth. What it can form, what it can create, and what it can destroy. We said that all creation, we said this last week, that all creation, say all creation, has the ability to hear, listen, and obey, and respond and worship to its creator. Let me say that again. We said that all creation has the ability to hear, to listen, to obey, to respond and worship its creator. I'll give you an example. The tree does not talk to me, but the fig tree that Jesus cursed listened, heard, and died. Do I need to say any more? Was that not proof that tree was alive? Jesus spoke to that fig tree because it wasn't producing fruit. And I thought about, if I'm not producing fruit, if I get cursed, what's going to happen to me? Ooh. See, we got to be about bearing fruit. See, everything can and does respond. And you got to understand that the Lord has commanded everything to worship Him. The Bible said, we looked at that in Psalms last week. In Psalms, we talked about that everything worships God. The water, the sea, the earth, the trees. I mean, have you ever been in the wilderness or the countryside or the mountain areas? You often sense the presence of God there. Jesus, Moses, and many others had gone out into the wilderness or went to a mountain. Why? So they could be in the presence of God. It's something about being in the presence of God that changes circumstances and situations. It's something about going out to Lake Mead and going into one of the coves and just hanging out and just listening to the water worship God. It's to see the wind blow in the wilderness. I mean, when we lived in Michigan, there was places we used to go up north, and you would hear the wind howling, and you'd see the trees bending and worshiping God. It was so peaceful. It was so relaxing. People went up north. They would buy a cabin and live in the city, and they didn't move out to they'd have a cabin up north. Why? So they could get away from everything, the hustle and bustle, so that they can be in the presence or the peace. They'd go to a place that was peaceful. Amen? Why? Because there's something about that they understood something. That the mountains are praising God. The seas are praising God. The wilderness is praising God. And guess what we got to be doing? Praising God. There's something about being in His presence. There's something about being in the presence of God. Created objects can turn into other created items directed by your sound waves or commanded under the direction of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. Anything that is saturated by the glory of God keeps the power. The power remains. Anything that is saturated in the glory of God keeps its power. When you speak to something, the sound waves carried by your faith can and will change what you speak to. If you speak to something long enough, it will change. Oh my God. My wife's been speaking to God about me a long time. I've been changing a lot. Praise God. You think it's funny, but it's true. She says, change me first, Lord, that He'll see the change in me first so that He'll want to change. How about things that change? How about the example of the two fish and a few loaves of bread that Jesus spoke to it? Because, see, there was a glory cloud over that circumstance situation when Jesus was praying and ministering the word. The glory of God was there, and then He spoke to those fish and those five loaves, and what? They multiplied and fed over 5,000 men, they said. So there was about 15,000 gathered there with just a couple fish and a few loaves of bread. How about Jesus when He turned the water into wine? There was a situation that there was a need, but the glory of God was there, and then He spoke to it, and the water turned into wine. Didn't they say, why did you hold the good stuff for last? Moses threw down his rod that he had in his hand, and it turned into a serpent. It changed a condition. It was a rod that turned into a serpent. How about Elijah, his dry bones, that brought a man's life back, that they laid this man who was dead upon the bones that hell had the power of God. The glory of God was still in his bones. And they laid the man upon those bones, and the man rose. See, there's power in all of us, and there's a remnant. That's why sometimes you can watch an old show that has a biblical teaching, and the word's just as relevant as it was 50 years ago as it is for your situation today. Because there's something about the glory of God being upon that. The glory of God can defy the laws of nature and gravity. Oh, Pastor, what do you mean the laws of nature and gravity? How about this? Jesus walking on water. You can't tell me that in the glory of God showed up and He began to speak to the situation that things didn't change. He walked on water. Now, I can walk on water too, but it's called ice. When it's frozen, I can walk on. I haven't learned the experience that Peter did. He got to walk on water. But then when he got in the natural world, guess what happened? He began to sink. How about Jesus? How He spoke to the sea and it ceased. Why? Because the sea heard what He said and it had to listen to what He said. The sea's got to listen to you. How about the walls of Jericho that had crumbled down after they shouted? They were silent for a week, and then they came together in unity and agreement, and they said, and they spoke to the walls, and they crumbled down. Now, they weren't just a little wall that was just, I mean, you're talking a wall that may have been a mile around. It would drive chariots on top of that thing, man. The walls came down. There's some walls in your life that are going to come down when you start speaking the word and you have the glory of God in your life. Amen? I want to cover some new ground this morning. The manifestation of the glory of God. Let's talk about how we manifest the glory of God. And I'm going to share with you that we got to put our primary emphasis on the glory of God, which comes from being intimate with God. We've got to spend some time with God. We got to spend some time reading His Word. We got to spend some time in prayer. We got to spend some time in the church. We got to spend some time fellowshipping with one another. We got to be patient. Sometimes waiting on the Lord means we have to be patient, and we don't want to be patient. We're in a generation that, you know, we drive to McDonald's, it ain't there in 30 seconds, we're complaining, it's got 90 seconds. 90 seconds, I gotta wait a minute and a half for my food. See, sometimes you gotta wait on the Lord. Sometimes you gotta be patient. But when you're patient, the glory of God will fall down upon your life. There's a difference between using our gifts for healing and prophecy and then using them when the glory is present. I am anointed. You are anointed to do things. My anointing, I can work in the natural, and then I can work in the supernatural. Sometimes I work in the gift of prophecy. Sometimes I work in the gift of healing. But it is so much better. It is so much better when you have the glory of God, the glory cloud. Things flow. Things work faster. The instant healings can take place when the glory of God shows up. It's imperative that we focus on getting the glory of God before we're looking for the miracle signs and wonders. You always wonder, you know, I watched Benny Hinn for years, watching him, and they would build the atmosphere and build the atmosphere and have people there hours earlier praying, building it. Why? Because they're trying to build the glory cloud so that when people walked in, they could already be healed before he even had to say. It's not that he has a special gift more than you or me. It's just he knows how to activate the glory of God in his life. And when you have the glory in your life, and you have the glory of God hovering over every circumstance and every situation, when you begin to speak to things, things have to change. Amen? Amen? Take a look at Matthew 7, verse 22. I wondered about the Scripture. I've asked God about the Scripture 100 times. God finally gave me some enlightenment on this Scripture. Matthew 7, verse 22, the New King James Version says this, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And I said, "Lord, what are you talking about?" He says, "There are many people that will allow miracles, signs, and wonders to break loose in their life. You all have a gifting. You all have a calling. You all have an anointing of God. And the anointing of God will break yokes. Yes, it will. There's things you can do to build up your faith level that you can move into the area where you can touch people and they'll get healed. A word of wisdom. You could speak it right into their life and know exactly what's going on. God will give you that. But it is so much better. And this is what God said. There are many that are doing those things, but they never knew God. They're doing it for their own glory. They thought it was about themselves. They never gave God the glory. And the thing what they missed out on is they had such an anointing on their lives, but if they had the glory of God hovering over the situation before they were to speak the words of wisdom, before it would make a different impact on that person's life. They would be able to get the end result quicker. The manifestation would take place. We don't use the gift without the giver. Let me say that again. Don't use your gifts without the giver. I don't know about you, but I want God to be with me everywhere I'm at. I want to be able to use the gifts I got and use them everywhere I go. Why? But I want Jesus to be there with me. I want him to be walking with me and say, and I can feel the glory of God being upon me as I was praising and worshiping him. Amen. I just got out of the car with my praise tape, and there's somebody that needs a helping hand, and then you're there that gives them a word. You're the person that lays hands on them. Maybe you're there at a supermarket. God sent you there, and you got the glory of God upon, and then you talk to that person, and this breaks them. They begin to cry. And then you have the word of advice from heaven to touch them. You have a gift. But you don't want to do it without the gift giver being there. I get gifts all the time, but it's sure nice when that person's there when they give me the gift. To look at the expression on their face and my face when I get blessed. Amen. Well, don't you want God to be everywhere you're at? Don't you want Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the glory of God to be hovering over every circumstance that you're at so that he can witness what you're doing? Amen. We must learn to sense the Holy Spirit and know when the glory is present or when it's not. There was two in the Bible that knew how to do this real well. It was Elijah and Elijah. Both of them knew the secret of knowing and sensing the Holy Spirit upon their life and when they could move in those giftings and watch God really do something spectacular. See, in the glory realm, there's no time. So right now, as we prayed for that young lady this morning, Deborah, in God's sight, there is no time limit. That's why we can give her this tape and maybe we go and drop it off and she listens to the sermon and God will touch her. Why? Because it doesn't mean there's no time in God's mindset. Amen? I mean, 1,000 years to God is like a couple seconds. That's why you can play CDs and DVDs and watch these things I got some stuff from way back from Smith Wigglesworth and others that are 30, 40 years old and the anointing on that is just as crisp as it was if he spoke it today. Now, Lord, how can you do that? Because he says there's no time in my word. My word will heal you today. It'll heal you tomorrow. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm not changing, he said. The only one that's going to change is you. See, you got to allow God to create those things inside of you. You got to understand that God's just not a healer. He's the creator. And to see the manifestation, you got to focus first on the glory of God, then on your gifts. You all have gifts. But you need the glory of God to let them manifest. There's something different. That's why you see ministries and ministers that flow in that they have an understanding and they can understand when it is time and that they can feel that anointing, they can feel that glory cloud come and then they know, I got to stop what I'm doing and minister to whoever God tells me to do. Why? Because something about to break loose. Something's about to change. And if you can get more people in agreement with His Word, if you can start getting more people to understand and sense the presence of God and the glory of God, guess what happens? Miracles, signs, and wonders break loose. The manifestations take place now, instantly, suddenly, instead of, you know, a few hours later or a week later or a month later. You know, you pray for somebody and they fall out and then they get up. I'm believing for the signs where we bring people with wheelchairs and we got a whole collection of them over here in the corner because they're walking out on their own accord. Amen. They come in with a walker, but they're leaving standing up on their own accord. How does that happen? It's the glory of God being ministered in their life. Amen. The greater the glory, the quicker things come to fruition. Oh, Pastor, really? Yeah. Take a look at Matthew 8:5. The greater the glory, the quicker things happen. The greater the glory, the more that we worship Him, the more that we're in agreement with Him, the more that we are praising Him, the more that we're worshiping Him, the more we spend time in His Word, the more time that we're praying, guess what happens? The greater the glory comes upon you. Amen? The Bible says this, and the quicker things happen. Here's the illustration, Matthew 8:5. See, I'm not trying to tell you something that you couldn't look up. I'm just showing you the proof is in the pudding in the Word. Matthew 8:5, New King James Version says this. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Jesus said, Hey, I got nothing going on in my schedule right now. I'll come over there and heal him. Pretty cool Jesus doing that because he's a pretty busy guy. He'd think that much of this guy, this soldier, that he would go over and heal this paralyzed servant. But then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Now, he said that because he knew who Jesus was, one. But he also knew that the manifestation would take place because the glory of God has already been in that person's room. All Jesus had to do was speak. He didn't have to be there. Didn't have to have a time limit. Didn't have to... When Jesus spoke something, things were going to change. When you speak things, things are going to change. When you speak them in the glory realm, when you speak it and the Holy Spirit is present, guess what's going to happen? Something's about to change. It says in verse 9, it says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and the other, come, and he comes. And now I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Then Jesus heard it, and he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Wow. Great faith. See, that's the third ingredient. See, first you've got to be able to have the Holy Spirit hovering over your circumstance and situation. The second thing you got to have is you got to be able to speak to it. You got to have some voice. You got to have some sound waves behind, because there's something about your sound waves that are penetrating. You can even knock down the walls of Jericho or the walls that are in your life. And then the third thing is that you got to have it. I've never seen such great faith. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed. Oh, that's another ingredient. You got to have faith and you got to believe. Amen. So let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Jesus didn't have to be present. I don't have to be present to go see this young lady who's in the hospital with not a good report. I can speak it from right here, from this pulpit, and God will work on my behalf to take care of it. Why? Because I got the glory of God in this place. And when I got the glory of God, and then I speak to it, guess what's going to happen? Something's going to change. Another example, verse 14. Now when Jesus had came over to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand. Now I know that Jesus, when he came, he had the anointing of God upon him. He had the glory of God upon him. And I know that he touched her, but I believe he also spoke to her. And when he spoke to her, the fever had left her, and she rose and served them. She was unconscious. She's laying on the bed saying, hey, I ain't feeling good. Jesus said, man, there's some stuff that got to get done. You can't afford to be sick. You can't afford to be tired. You can't afford to be down. I'm going to just lay hands on you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to speak to your circumstance, situation. It's going to change. So then she rose and then she served them. She had an instant recovery. Why? Things happen in the instant, suddenly, and now when the glory of God's there. Amen? So he touched her hand and the favor arose, and she arose and served them. And it says, then the evening had come, and they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed a few that were sick. Just a couple, because he didn't have any more power because he was tired. He was zapped out. He was just de-energized. He didn't get his Starbucks coffee in the morning. He didn't get his Energizer drink, right? No, that's not what it said. He said they brought all these demon-possessed people, all those that were jacked up. He said he cast out the spirit with a word. Why? Because he already had the Spirit of God hovering. He spoke the word in faith, and Jesus believed what he spoke. And guess what happened? Those, all that were sick, were healed. All. Not a few. All. How would it be to go to a convention center, amen, and have a meeting, have the Spirit of God hovering over, and then you start to speak. And everybody that was sick got healed. All. He didn't leave and say, well, everybody but that one over there and that one over there. No, all of them. And it says here that all that were sick, and that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaac the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. See, here's what's happened. When you have the glory of God showing up on site, wherever you're at, and then you begin to speak, things have to change. Life's got to be transformed. Marriages have got to be restored. Sickness has to go. Disease needs to go bye-bye. Amen? There is no limit in the glory of God. Let me say that again. There is no limit in the glory of God. Jesus made this statement. Take a look at John 15:5. This is the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation. John 15:5. Here's why it's important to understand this. Sometimes people, and God will honor it, will move in their own given abilities. Sometimes they'll have a strong anointing on them, but there is still a difference when the glory is upon them. There's a difference. The Bible says in John 15:5 this, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. See, that's where we got to get this. He's the vine, we're a branch of the vine. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. From apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. You can do nothing. You're not going to do everything that you could do if you were in my glory, if you were connected. There are many that try to have done it on their own accord, and they've had limited success, because the word always works. But they won't have the crispness. They won't have the healing. They won't have the out and out miracle signs and wonders break loose in their life, is because they're not totally connected to God. And being connected to God, let me tell you, sometimes him being the vine and us the branch, sometimes if you ever been by anything, he had to prune some branches, it hurts. Sometimes he has to prune us. Sometimes he's got to prune some things back, and he said, God, this hurts. What are you doing to me? But I'm connected to him, so I know I'm not going to die, although it feels pretty painful. Although we've given to this ministry for 3 years in the food pantry, and we haven't seen the lives come in. Because I'm interested in their lives being changed. I ain't interested in giving them food. I mean, we do that to lure them. I'm fishing. Remember, we're always fishing for people. Maybe we have to have a rock concert. Amen? Christian one, of course. I mean, I talked to the guys at Rolling Stones. There's some Christian music for me. Praise God. But sometimes you have to throw certain bait out there to catch a fish. Matthew went fishing yesterday in a certain part of the ocean yesterday, and they didn't catch much. They didn't have the right bait. Fish are still hungry. They just didn't bite his bait. But they're going to go tuna fishing tonight, where they're going to have the right bait, and they're going to catch the big fish. Call them by having the right bait. If you're not, you're throwing and wasting a lot of time. Not that you're wasting, but if people don't want to get a grip of what you're giving them, and all they're seeking is, they're seeking for the natural thing, we want to give them something supernatural. I mean, if all I had was a few seeds and there was no other food, someone gave me the seeds to grow, that would be better for me to be farming it myself. At least I know how to farm and have some production, some food, instead of waiting for somebody else. Amen? See, nothing, here, you got to understand, nothing happens without His presence or the glory of God showing up. Nothing big, nothing explosive, nothing that the newspaper is going to write about until He shows up. I mean, you get some miracle signs and wonders breaking loose here in this place, guess what's going to happen? The world's going to want to take notice of what the heck is going on in that place. What's going on with that small group of people over there? Well, see, you only see a small group of people. I see an army of people. Amen? In order to get something you never had, you must do something you've never done before. Let me say that again. In order to get something you never had, you must do something you've never done before. Sometimes you've got to step out of the comfort zone of what you've been doing to step out into what the glory zone is. Sometimes we've been doing the same thing and expecting a different result. That's insanity. Sometimes you got to change some things up. Sometimes God says, hey, I'm going to prune back some things in your ministry. There's some people that are going to have to leave your ministry because they're holding you back. They're not 100% behind your vision. They're talking about you. I learned something yesterday. It was last night, I think it was, that there's always an enemy in your camp. Think about Judas. Judas wasn't a bad guy, but the devil knew he could use him to get to Jesus. Put him in his own camp. Jesus even picked him. Reap the glory by violent sowing. Here, I'm going to give you this last scripture. We're going to get out of here. Deuteronomy 1:11. Deuteronomy 1:11. It says, may the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are, and bless you just as He has promised you. Now, it's the only place in the Bible I found a 1,000-fold return. I heard of the 30, I heard of the 60, I heard of the 100. God's math is different than our math. But a 1,000-fold return. 1,000-fold, I like that a little bit better than a 100-fold guy. I mean, I like 100-fold, you know, get me along. You know, if you were a gambler, you'd like a 100-fold return. Amen. Well, he sure bets Jesus, though. Let me just tell you that. How do you get it? So God was showing me. You remember the widow that Elijah went and seen? And she had her last little bit of meal? She sowed superficially. How about the boy with a couple fish and 5 loaves of bread? He sowed all that he had superficially. How about the poor widow with just 2 mites? She didn't have this big offering. She just had 2 mites. Ron once brought in these little mites and what they were, and they're this little coin thing. It's, you know, a tiny little thing. All she had was 2 mites, but she sowed superficially. How about Solomon? Here's a rich guy. He gave 1,000 animals on the altar because he sowed superficially. Here's the deal. Here's what I want you to catch. When the glory of God shows up, that's when you sow superficially. I'm going to show you. When Elijah showed up, he brought the glory of God. The woman sowed superficially. Jesus showed up, and the boy gave him the fish and the loaves of bread. And then what happened? Boom. Superficially he gave. It grew. The woman with 2 mites. That's all she gave. That's all she had. But look what happened in that miracle. How about Solomon, who gave 1,000 animals? And God says, you can have anything you want. Anything. You name it. Note that generosity is determined by the percentage of what you have that you give, not the actual amount. Let me say that again. Generosity is determined by the percentage of what you have that you give, not the actual amount. This type of giving should only take place where the glory of God resides. This then will cause the greatest return. That's why God talked about the thousandfold return. It was given in His glory. Why? It was given superficially. It was God said, "I need it now. Give it to me now." The man of God was there. The glory of God was there, and they sowed. There was a thousandfold return. When the glory hits this place, and it will, as we build the atmosphere for it, and the glory shows up, I'm going to be sowing whatever God tells me to sow, because I want a thousandfold return. Amen. I got college to pay for pretty soon. I got orthodontist in my family coming up. Praise God. And y'all go see her when she's done in 8 years. Praise God. I'm sowing because I'm expecting God to bring a harvest. Just not for me, but for the whole church, for the whole city, for the whole nation. There's other ministries that are counting upon us. Amen? When you primarily put your focus and emphasis on the glory of God, and you put that first, because you're intimate with Him and you love Him, and sometimes you have to be patient with the Lord and you have to wait on Him. When you do those things, the glory of God shows up in your life. Guess what happens? Change takes place. There's a difference between using our gifts for healing and prophecies and using the presence of God. When the presence of God is there, even the walls of Jericho have to fall down. There may be walls in your life that need to fall down. There are some things in your life that need to come to an end. There's some things that God wants to do and prune some things back in your life. But as long as you're connected to the vine, you won't die. You're just a branch. The branch extends out to something. On the vine, have you ever seen a grapevine that has all the little branches? And on the branches is where all the grapes hang out. That's your fruit. Your fruit touches somebody. Your fruit's supposed to be savoring to somebody that doesn't know Him. There's a difference between using your gifts for healing and prophecy and then having the glory present. It manifests a lot quicker. There's a difference. There's change that takes place. You can't use your gifts without the giver. You can't use your gift without... You got to have the giver present when you're going to use your gifts. I mean, you can try to use them and it'll probably have some... it'll work sometime, but it won't work all the time. Amen? When you're in His glory, you'll have instant success. Miracles, signs, and wonders that will take place. We got to learn to sense the Holy Spirit and know when the glory is present and when it's not. When He's done, we're done. Amen? Don't try to push further than you can. When the Lord says you're done, you're done. Amen? Amen. When Mike came in here and he spoke prophetically, it was unusual for him because he usually meets with every person and talks to him. But he said, hey, I asked him, what happened? He says, the Lord said, I'm done. And I stopped. I wasn't going to go and try to do something in my own flesh. I probably could have. He said, but it wouldn't have been God. So he knew how to sense what the Holy Spirit was telling him. In the glory realm, there is no time. When you speak, you're allowing God to create whatever you're speaking. God will make it. There's no distance with God. I can pray right now for somebody who's sick 10 miles away, and God is going to touch them. Amen? Amen? Have you been in the presence of God and been saturated by His glory? That's the question. Because once you're saturated with His glory, the power always remains. The greater the glory, the quicker things happen in your life. The greater the glory, the quicker things happen in your life. There's no limit to the glory of God. God's not limited by anything. He's not limited by time. He's not limited by circumstances or situations. God's not limited. The glory of God shows up, it shows up. Amen? Things are going to change. In order to get something you've never had, you got to do something you've never done before. That's a hard one. Because we like, you know, I like the same old. You know, I'm good, you know. I like to come and do the same thing, and it's good. And I like to go to the same few restaurants. I don't want to try something new. Because what happens if it's no good? And it's a waste of my money. Lord says you got to step out and try something different. Amen. You want different results? You got to do something different. Reap the glory by violent sowing. Today, let us begin to take some time this week to allow the glory of God to hover in our lives and in our church. We got to take some time and set it aside for God and get into His glory. We got to, Lord, help me understand. Let me sense Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to read Your scriptures about the Spirit of God and start getting those scriptures in you so you sense how He works, how He lives in your life. Amen? If you don't know Him, you got to get to know Him because that's the only way your life will change. How can you have the glory of God in your life if you don't sense Him? Let the sound waves activated by your faith, change what's been hindering you and holding you back personally and for the church body. Remember that Jesus is just not a healer and a provider. He's the creator. He's the creator. We've limited God sometimes. Well, he can just heal me. Yeah, but he's the creator. You don't like the circumstance and situation you're in? Ask him to change it. He will. Get into the glory of God. Once you get into the glory of God and you begin to use your words, when you begin to speak the words and you use them in faith, things are about to change. We're a church of 3,000. People go, oh, you always say that. Well, I'm confessing it because I'm believing that's what I'm going to possess. Well, you don't have to believe it, but it would be good if you did because then we all get in agreement. We'll see God show up a little quicker. Well, 3,000 doesn't mean they all have to be in this one location. By the internet, amen, we could reach millions of people. I'm going to figure out if I can get it broken down in Chinese or something, man. That'd be kind of cool. Or Arabic for all those that don't know Jesus yet, but the Muslims are going to get saved too. Amen. See, the glory of God is not a respecter of person. The glory of God works. When he shows up, all we got to do is participate. We want the miracles, and we want the signs, and we want the instant healings, and we want to be shouting, and we want all those things, but we as a group have to bring the glory of God together. It's just not my job here. We try to build the atmosphere through praise and worship, but we got to come in ready to receive. We got to come in with the mode, Lord, I'm ready. My hands are open. Not like this. I can't catch anything like this. I can catch a lot like this. Come on, Jesus. Bring it all on. Bring me the 1,000-fold return. When the glory is present and the anointing is working, healing will take place. Souls will be saved. People's marriages will be restored. Guess what happened? Things change. They have to. By the sound waves coming from your vocal cords can move mountains. Have faith and say, have faith and then speak to that mountain. Why? Because there's something about the sound waves that move the mountains. No different than it moved the walls of Jericho. Your mountain may be something in your way. I was never a one of those people that jumped those hurdles and stuff. I tried that. I knocked every one of them down when I was a kid. I said, just get those hurdles out of my way and I can run, but don't put the hurdles in my way because I can't clear them. But if I can speak to those things, those hurdles in my life, they'll have to move. They'll have to fall down. They'll have to get out. They'll have to shrink. They'll have to do something so I can clear it every time. Amen? Are you with me? Do you want the glory of God to show up in this place? Do you want the glory to show up every Sunday? And then there'll be testimony after testimony. You bring people in, they're getting healed, whole, and set, delivered. Amen. Amen. Think about that. Think about what the news is going to say. Think about when the internet people come and say, what's going on in that church over there? Jesus, the glory. What's been ailing you? It's going to be fixed. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless your people. As they go forth, Lord God, let it be their best week ever. Increase them, Lord God, in your understanding of your word. Help them, Lord God, in everything that they do this week. Guide them and direct them. Holy Spirit, comfort them. Help them. Let them make wise choices, good decisions. Let them just fall upon your grace and your mercy. Heavenly Father, bless them as they come in. Lord, bless them as they go out. Lord God, give them the favor of God upon their lives. Whatever they do, Lord, increase them. Whatever they're seeking, they'll find in you. When they ask you, Lord God, they'll find. And Lord, as they knock on your door, Lord God, you'll open it to them. For Lord God, they're your child. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. I ask you, Lord God, let us be doers, just not hearers only. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. And amen. You